Take your Bibles, if you will, and I invite you to turn to the book of 1 Kings as we're going through this book in a series of sermons. And let's go to chapter 10 today and look at the Sheba. 1 Kings chapter 10, we'll read through verse 13. As we go back and review briefly, you know that this is a time when Solomon had built the temple, marvelous and beautiful, glorious temple. David wanted to do it, but God would not let him do it. He was a man of war, but David helped finance it, left a lot of gold and silver and all in order for it to be taken care of. But Solomon built this beautiful, magnificent edifice, this temple. The temple was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And throughout the 8th chapter, he talked a lot about praying, looking back toward that temple, looking back whether they were in captivity or whether they were in another part of the city or outside the walls of the city, they were to look back. And that was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ and the result of prayer, going to God in prayer. And he was dealing with prayer. In fact, Solomon prays a prayer. But God, one of the things that you might do sometimes is study Solomon's prayer. You'll see all the important elements of prayer right in that. But now we want to move forward a little bit to after this had been built, and Solomon, of course, had prayed for wisdom, and he had prayed that God would give him that, and God did, and he was building a tremendous, tremendous empire for Israel. And so word got out all around about the temple. Wouldn't it be good if word could get out all around about Jesus as a result of our church? Then we'd have revival, I believe. And that was something that was talked about. Everybody said, have you seen that temple? Have you seen that edifice? No, I haven't seen it. Well, you need to go see it. It's magnificent. And they bragged about it. And so we should brag about the Lord Jesus Christ and bring people to him and tell them about Christ. But the queen of Sheba decided she wanted to come see this. Look at verse 1, 1 Kings chapter 10. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. By the way, that was Solomon's desire, was that God be glorified more than Solomon. Concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train. Not a Lionel train, but a train of camels. And the camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. She said, I've got a lot of questions I want to talk to you about. And Solomon told her all her questions. He answered them. And I'm telling you, that's a miracle when a man can answer a woman's question, all the woman's questions, right? Or vice versa. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in mine own land, and thy acts and of thy wisdom, of thy acts and thy wisdom. Howbeit I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. She said, they didn't tell me half of it. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loveth Israel forever. And therefore made he thee king to do judgment and to do justice. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold and of spices, very great store, and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to the king Solomon. And the navy also of Hiram that brought gold from Ophir, brought in from Ophir great plenty of almug trees and precious stones. And the king made of the almug trees pillars for the house of the Lord and for the king's house, harps also and psalteries for singers. There came no such almug trees nor were seen unto this day. And King Solomon gave unto the queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, beside that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. Now, I believe there's some lessons for us right here in this occasion that God has put in the Bible for us. I believe it is a picture of the steps involved in getting saved or becoming a believer or becoming a Christian. Step number one, she heard. Isn't that important? She heard. If she hadn't heard, she wouldn't have come. Folks, may I remind all of us that that is our task. And thank God we have many of our people who are doing that. Many of you tell people at work about Jesus. Many of you tell your relatives at the funeral home about Jesus. Many of you tell them at other social gatherings about. And every opportunity you get as you go on the way, you witness and you tell people about Jesus the best you can, the best you know how. We'll be training over 50 people in our team soul winning. And they're going to be trained a little better, and some already have been, to do what? To go tell people about Jesus. That's what we need to be doing as a church, to get out there and report about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Word reports it. And we got to tell them that He saves and He forgives of sin and He regenerates people, and tell them all that He can do. And she heard about it, and she said, I have got to go see for myself. If we just get excited about Jesus and get excited about what's happening down at the church, get excited about serving the Lord, I'm telling you, people are going to say, I want to go see what's going on down there. I want to see why their life is that way. She heard and she believed, at least in part. And her belief put her into action to go see what was going on. It takes that kind of belief. Romans 10, 9, 10, and 13, we're all familiar with that probably. That if we believe with our heart, believe in our mind and our heart, confess the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. She heard all about it. She said, I must go see for myself. And not only did she hear, but she came. Doesn't do any good for you to hear about Jesus, friend, unless you come to Him. You can hear about Him and agree with it and have your relatives and loved ones tell you about Him, but you've got to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to ask you today, have you come? Do you know for sure that you've come to the Lord Jesus Christ? She came. Jesus gives us a standing invitation. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I'll tell you something. If you've never been born again and had your sins washed away, you are laboring under a burden because you have the guilt of sin. And you don't know where you're going to go when you die. And the Bible teaches truthfully that you won't go to heaven. Friend, that is something you're laboring under. But Jesus says, come. Come to me. Always His invitation is come. It's never stay away, stay out. Always, because of His love, Jesus says, come. Come unto me. Then He said, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Boy, aren't we glad of that. It doesn't matter, my friend, what you've done in the past. Doesn't matter how deep you've gone into sin. Doesn't matter what you've done. You can come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He will take away the guilt of your sin and the penalty of your sin. And He always says, I will not cast you out. She came herself. She didn't come by proxy. You can't get saved by proxy. I've known people, you say, are you saved? Well, my grandfather and grandmother helped start that church over there, and my mom and daddy were charter members of that church, and they go all the time. Friend, I didn't ask you if your grandma and grandpa went to church, or if your mom and daddy went to church, or if they were saved. I'm asking you, are you saved? You're not going to get to heaven on the skirts of your godly grandma or grandpa or mother or daddy. has nothing to do with it, other than a little of the fact that they are training you and teaching you how to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. She came herself. You see, salvation is a personal thing. You personally have to understand your loss. You personally have to understand Jesus died for you personally and paid for your sins personally. She came personally to the Lord Jesus Christ, and she came from a great distance. The Bible says she came from afar off. Well, that's all of us come from afar off. We're all alienated by our sins. We're all at a distance from God. No matter how good we are, we're still separated from Almighty God and His goodness in the matter of salvation. We come from afar off. Ephesians 2:13, ye who sometimes were far off in the past, though before you got saved, are made nigh or near by the blood of Christ. He says everybody that's been saved was far off, but we've been brought close to God by the blood of Jesus Christ. Not by the sacraments. Not by the baptismal pool, not by joining a church, not by our good works, but we've been brought nigh because of the love of Almighty God. And she came at a great risk, a considerable risk in those days. You see, when she was gone, it would be nothing, nothing whatsoever for them to have an overthrow in her government. And when she got back, she would no longer be queen. That's just the way they did it back then. I don't think she'd have been disappointed after she came if that had happened to her. And she was not disappointed. At great risk, she came. And I ask you, was it worth it? Yes, it was. She said it was. She said, I'm glad I came. Now, you come and you say, well, I don't know what they'll think about me down at work. I don't know what my relatives will think. I may have to change my job. I may not have the same job if I live for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all right, my dear friend. You don't need that job anyway. God will give you a better job. God will take care of you. Doesn't matter. You say, well, I'd give this up, or I might have to give up that, and I might have to give this up. It will be worth it to you if you'll give up anything for the Lord Jesus Christ. And truthfully, you don't really give up anything that's good. You just gain everything that's good, that has eternal value to it. And so she was willing to give it up. It didn't matter to her. And she came to Solomon. She came to no one else but Solomon himself. See, you don't go to somebody else. I cannot save anybody. I've had little kids and some adults say, I appreciate you saving me, preacher. Now, I know what they mean. What they mean was I led them to Christ. But I did not save them. They were saved by Christ himself. And she came to Solomon himself. He's the only one that can answer questions and take care of it. Not one of his ministers, not religion. She came to the source. She came to Solomon. Not only that, when she came, she communed. Verses 2 and 3, she brought some hard questions. Go ahead and bring your questions to Jesus today. Why am I here? Who made me? Where am I going? What's life all about? Why do we exist? My friend, bring all the questions you want to. God has the answer. Oh, how did this world get started? How did this earth get started? Well, one day there was a big bang. Nobody knows what gave the energy for the bang, but the bang, bang. There was a great big explosion. And there was stuff that went everywhere. And then some of it cooled off. Then when it cooled off, moisture formed. And when moisture formed, the tadpole started swimming. And when the tadpole started swimming, then it finally came out. And finally, somehow, grew a tail and swung from a tree a while. And that as the thousands of years went along, guess what? That dumb monkey turned into a human being. That's about the only thing I can believe about the whole story. And I don't believe that. And then we became the Neanderthal man and so on and so forth, and here we are. No, friend, that's a bunch of garbage. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God made Adam and Eve by divine fiat, and He made this earth. And this earth is not billions of years old, unless you're a theistic evolutionist. I believe God made this earth, and I'm satisfied with the fact that it's only about 6,000 years of age. You have no problem. You say, what about the geologists? What about the ones who are Bible-believing geologists? What about guys like Dr. Henry Morris, who was a professor of hydraulics at Virginia Tech, who says you can explain all of the carbon dating, all that other stuff, by the universal flood. And I believe there was a universal flood. So we won't have time to go into all that, but I'm telling you that she brought all of her questions. Well, can my sins be forgiven? You don't know what I've done. Can I have all of my sins forgiven? God, you know, Jesus, you know that I committed adultery. I've lived in sin. I've been a streetwalker. I've murdered somebody. I've robbed from people. Can I be saved? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. If the Apostle Paul could be saved, you can be saved if you're a murderer. If David was saved, my friend, and we know he was, then you can be saved. That is not to endorse sin, because sin always has its negative. But it is to say that Jesus loves sinners. Bring all the questions you've got. He'll answer them. Where are you going to go when you die? One of these days you're going to go, you're going to draw that last breath. That's it. I've stood by the side of people many, 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 many times over these many years, these decades in the ministry, and in the hospital room, in the little bedroom there at the house or somewhere, I've watched them draw that last breath. And they're gone, we say. They're gone. The nurse comes in, stethoscope, checks it out, looks at the family, says, "This is it. That's it. She's gone. He's gone." Where are you going to be 1 second after that? The soul leaves the body, goes to be, if you're saved, into the very present, soul and spirit, in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bring your question. What's going to happen to me 1 second after I die? There is no other way. There's no other answer other than the Bible. And the Bible tells us, Jesus has the answer. The minute you die, if you're saved, you go to be with Christ. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. That's why Paul said, don't weep as those who have no hope. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13, don't cry as those who have no hope. Because he says the dead in Christ are going to be raised someday. We're going to be translated and we'll all go to meet the Lord in there, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Bring your questions to him. He's got the answers about eternity, about life, about the purpose of life, and everything you can bring to him. She communed. She had questions, and these were from her heart. She was sincere. And then she began to see his greatness. She began to see just how great he really was, and he was great. Verse 4 tells us, and when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom in the house that he had built, in the meat of his table, in the sitting of his servants, in attendance of his ministers, cupbearers, all of that, how he went up to the house of God, and all of the pomp and glory, all of that, she said, man, that's marvelous. This is something else to see the greatness. She saw his wisdom. She saw his house. She saw all of those things. She saw who he really was. She saw his provision, the meat. She saw his sitting of servants. She saw the beautiful apparel that he had on. She saw the way he went up and the way he came down. That's just sort of a picture of Jesus Christ. I can tell you, friend, when you really see him, you'll never be the same. You can talk about him, see around him, but when your eyes are open and you admit who he is, he's the Son of God, deity, God in the flesh who died for you, and you finally get it, you finally see that he's the Redeemer, he is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, then your whole life changes. She was never the same after she saw who he really was. It changed her life. Not only that, she testified. She said in verses 6 and 7, she said to the king, it was true report that I heard in mine own land of the acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit I believed not the words, not all of them then, until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, now she's testifying, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. You know what happened to you when you get saved? You'll say, you know, those Christians who try to get me saved, they couldn't describe it. They couldn't tell me half of it. They tried. But now that I've accepted Christ, now that I've been born again, now that I'm a new creature in Christ, I'll tell you, they didn't tell me half of it. My life is so different. My guilt is gone. My purpose for living is different. My whole life has totally changed. And I'm glad to go out and tell everybody, hey, I want you to know that the half hadn't been told. Jesus is the Redeemer. He is the Savior. He is the only one. And she began to testify. Don't you think we ought to testify? Do you testify? Less amens on that one. Do we testify? Some of you do, thank God. As I said earlier in the message, I thank God for a people who are not ashamed of Jesus Christ. Some of our teenagers aren't ashamed of Christ. You know that? Some of them will take their New Testament or Bible to school with them. Amen. Hats off to you. God bless you. They probably poke fun at you and laugh at you. Some of our teenagers are not ashamed to take a stand and say, no, I'm separated. I don't do that. I'm saved. Jesus saved. Well, why don't you do these things? Because I'm born again. I love Jesus. He saved my soul. Some of our adults do the same thing. They witness and they stand up and they take a stand for Jesus Christ, sometimes at a cost. I know I've heard people say, and someone just said to me this past week, talking about someone they knew that lost their job. They had a good job. They used to work with them. And they said they still communicate with me. But the reason he lost his job was because he was a godly Christian. And they didn't like that around there. And that's true sometimes. But still testify. Don't be ashamed that you're a Christian. Let others know that you love the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that, she was so impressed that she gave her treasures. Verse 10, and she gave the king 120 talents of gold and of spices, very great in very great store. Precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. You see, she was so impressed and so moved and so changed by meeting him that she was willing to give to him. Do you know that's what you ought to do? And that's what I should do. When we meet Jesus, we ought to present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. If we get the glimpse of his glory, if we get the impact of who he really is, then we're going to give everything, lock, stock, and barrel, to the Lord Jesus Christ. But yield yourselves unto God as one that is alive from the dead. Yield yourself as one that's been raised by Jesus Christ. Have you been born again? Have you been saved? Did God raise you from spiritual death? You were dead in your trespasses and sin. Then if he raised you to new life, then live. Live a life totally yielded to him. The believer ought to give God his heart. The issues of life come from where? The heart. Have you given God your heart? You say, well, when I got saved. You know, some people get saved, and you sometimes wonder if that really happened or not. But some people get saved. They don't yield their lives to Jesus like they should. You haven't given him your heart. He should be the Lord of your life. Amen. He should be in control. Give him your heart. Give him thanks. Give him honor. Give him praise. And give him prayer. And give him your body. And give him your substance. Give him your tithes. Give him your offering. Give him your talent. Give him everything. Yield it to him. She saw his glory and she said, I'm willing to give. Are you willing to give? Are you willing to give everything? What could we withhold from one who has given everything to us? God gave his only son. When people give up loved ones, they must remember, we must remember, that as you give up somebody you love, God one day gave up somebody he loved, his son. He was made man, made a human being. He pre-existed. He came into this world by the virgin birth, and God gave his son to die for you. What can we do? We need to give him everything. I mean everything. Just give him everything. Here I am, Lord. Here's my house. Here's my car. Here's my talent. Here's my family. Here's my job. Here's everything that I have. Here are my finances. God, I'm yours. I give you everything. You've saved my soul. You're keeping me out of hell. You've given me eternal life. I'm giving you everything. By the way, Solomon was reciprocal in his giving. Look at verse 13. And King Solomon gave unto the Queen of Sheba all her desire. Friend, let me tell you, Jesus will give you the desires of your heart. Did you know that's promised in the Word of God? Now your desire, if it's right kind of desire, will link up and agree with Jesus Christ. It'll agree with His Word. He won't just give you and supply the needs of your life. He'll do more than that. He'll give you the desires of your life. What are the desires of your life today? God, if they're in the will of God, God will give you the desires of your life. He delights in meeting our needs. He delights in supplying those things. I think Solomon was thrilled when she gave all that to him. He said, let me show you something. Let me just show you what I can do for you. And Solomon could do more than she could do for him, I promise you that. Because he had more gold and silver and all of those things than she could ever dream of. He said, I'll give you every desire of your heart. Let me tell you something. Ever since I've been saved, Jesus has met the desires of my heart. I've never had all the things I may have wanted. But He knows what's best for me to have and not to have. But I can tell you this. Anything I've really had a desire for in the areas of peace and satisfaction and purpose in life, and feeling that it's worthwhile, and all of those things, He has given it to me. And I can tell you today, I feel the same way. The very same way. You cannot outgive God. If you'll trust Him as your Savior, if you'll come to Him, if you'll see His glory, if you'll admit you have some questions and some needs, and if you'll ask, how am I going to go to heaven? How can I know I'm ready to die, friend? Jesus has the answer. And if you'll come to Him, He will never disappoint. There's never been anybody who's come to Jesus that's been disappointed if they've been honest about it. Oh, there have been some that have gotten crossways with God and out of God's will and accused God of things. But I'm telling you, if they're honest about it and biblical about it, and they know in their heart, they know that God has satisfied. Jesus satisfies the longings of our heart. Always. He satisfies. Is He satisfying you today? What satisfies you? Is it material things? Is it the achievement of your children? Oh, there's a certain amount of satisfaction in all of that. But I mean, what satisfies you the most, more than anything else in life? Is it your relationship with Jesus Christ, walking with Him, talking with Him, fellowshipping with Him, serving Him, living right, all of that? That ought to be the thing that satisfies our life. And I believe that Jesus always satisfies. And behold, the Bible says, a greater than Solomon is here. Who's that? A greater than Solomon is here. Friend, it's not the Pope of Rome. And it's not any other hierarchical personality. It is Jesus Christ. And I can tell you that a greater than Solomon is here. Have you trusted Him as your Savior? Do you know Him today? Have you heard? Are you, as a Christian, telling? Some of us need to come today. Some are doing it, some are not. Some who are not need to come and say, God, I hadn't been telling it like I should. I need to get back to telling it. I've gotten a little ashamed, a little embarrassed. I need to get back to telling about who Jesus is. A greater than Solomon. And our life ought to back up our testimony. Amen? They go hand in hand. Your testimony is no better than the way you live. What a hypocritical pontification of somebody to live like the devil and go around telling people, you need to get saved. Jesus is the answer. And you don't set the example, God help us. But praise God, there are some who are doing it. Keep on doing it. Keep on doing it. God bless you for doing it. God will reward you and bless you for doing it. But we need to let others know who Jesus is so that they might be interested enough to come and find out. And when they do, they'll have their questions answered and they'll get saved. Let's stand, please. Every head is bowed. I would venture to guess that in a crowd this big, a few hundred that are here today, that there's some person here who has some questions and you haven't answered them. And if I were to say, are you going to heaven? You'd have to say, I hope, or I'm not sure, or maybe so. Friend, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. Come to Him today. I tell you, He's wonderful. I can't describe Him enough. I tell you, you'll not be disappointed. If you'll come and meet Him, you will never be disappointed. He'll meet every need of your life. He'll outgive you every time. come to Him today? Then I ask you as a believer, have you really met Him? Are we proud of Him? Are we talking about Him? Are we living for Him? Are we telling others? If not, come and make that right today. Father, speak to our hearts. We believe You have through Your Word. Thank You that a greater than Solomon has come, Jesus Christ, Your Son and the Savior of the world. And thank You that He says, if you'll come to Me, I will not cast you out. No matter what you've done, no matter what your past, no matter what your sin, we're thankful, dear God, that Jesus, Your Son, invites us to come and He'll forgive us. There's somebody here today who's never been saved, no doubt, God. I pray that somehow in this feeble message of trying to make them realize how wonderful Your Son is, that You would get their attention, draw them to Christ, and bring them, that their questions might be answered. I pray, oh God, You would stir us and make us realize that if somebody hadn't told others about Solomon in the temple, they wouldn't have come. They came to see Jesus, represented by the temple, representing the presence of God. Help us by our life, our lips, our testimony to bring others to Christ, to tell others about Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.